medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for personal care. If you have or you suspect you might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of this radio show or their sponsors.
Welcome to Let's Talk Healing. I'm your host, Anna, and we have a couple of guests today with us, Carol and Saber. But first of all, listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time and support today, listening to our show and also to our sponsors. Our show today is on addictions, but before we jump into that topic, I'd like to introduce you to the inspirational healer this show is dedicated to, who is Atana. You've just heard his music and will continue to hear it throughout the broadcast today. Atana is an author, a musician, a master energy healer, an international teacher, just to name a few of his talents. But what makes him really, really special is the method that he created to help as many people as possible, and that's called the Atana Method. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through today's show. Anyway, I'd just like to introduce you to Atana himself. Hello, Atana.
Hello, wonderful being. Hello, wonderful being, the listeners and Saber and Carol and Dawn. And, of course, most wonderful Anna.
Thank you, Atana. Thank you. We just before we jumped on air, I was just reminding everybody of a topic today, which is addictions, which is a serious topic. In one of the shows recently, we were commenting on addictions and how 7 out of 10 Americans have some sort of addiction today, and yeah. It is now the largest cause of all death. But Atana just had to put a little bit of lightness in that and said, well, what happens if you're addicted to love? And it's true, you know, it's what we want. We want everyone to be addicted to love. But the reality, Atana, is that, you know, the addiction severely impacts people's lives. And today we're going to talk about it from an energetic perspective. Those addictions can fall into many categories. They can be addictions to technology. They can be behavioral addictions, numbing out via certain substances, food, alcohol, gambling. That's just the start of it. So from an energy healer's perspective, let's talk about what addictions are, please. Hmm.
Yeah, we have to look at the effect of addiction. Often when we're addicted to something, even like you mentioned, even like to computer games, it does have an effect on our system. And you know, this is even before we are addicted to any chemicals, you know, outside of us. It does create a chemical response in our brain. Are we truly feeling satisfied for this moment that the addiction takes place? And this feeling of satisfaction gives us also that feeling of we don't have to be fully present, and we can literally check out. And that moment of checking out is really what this is about, because ultimately, it's about being present and being fully present in our lives, in our bodies, and our purpose. And whenever we're getting into the addiction, part of it is also an escapism, where we escape our lives for a moment, where we feel we don't have to deal with the heavy responsibilities that we're holding or having to fulfill, and it gives us an escape for for a moment. Only that the addiction can get so dysfunctional and to such a level of despair, ultimately, where it drains our life force from our physical life, body, life force, even into directly into the mental. And it's very interesting when you see that, because I remember seeing a couple of days ago, like a trailer about a movie where it all happened in the virtual world, but the outside world was literally abandoned. The people were barely in their bodies. The environment was very, very run down, so that the people welcomed that escape. And they literally lived in that virtual reality. And every moment that they had free, they basically went into that virtual reality and they tried to live and to express their life in that virtual reality. And in some way or form, that's very similar like to The Matrix, if you have ever seen that movie, The Matrix. But in any case, any addiction basically refocuses, redirects our energy of life, of living, of wanting to fully participate in abandonment.
In abandonment.
Yeah. Because we feel abandoned, and we're reliving that trauma of abandoning ourselves. Because when we're addicted to something else, we're abandoning our own pharmacy, so to speak, because our bodies, our systems, have the most efficient pharmacies on the planet. We can basically create and recreate even enzymes. We can create everything that is required that we can find in the outside world. And we basically can create that with a rush, with a feeling, with an experience inside ourselves by just merely feeling it or experiencing it or diving into the experience of it. Like we said in the beginning, just think about how you feel when you're in love. When you're in love, your whole pharmacy is constantly giving you some happy pills, and you're like constantly in this happy feeling, and you're like constantly moving forward, and you feel you can do everything. The whole environment changes because you now have more of yourself present because you love being alive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that feeling of being in love. I'm sure most people do at some point, whether it was with a puppy when you're a kid, or first sweetheart love, or even right now with the people in your life, your friends, or even the communities that you're part of. It's a beautiful feeling. It's very energizing. So just going back to this abandonment, would you say that behind most addictions, that is the core emotion that you're dealing with?
Of course, because we feel ultimately abandoned from our source. And it doesn't matter what level we're looking at it, if we feel disconnected from God or the Anunnaki created us, or if you go even back to your enlightenment consciousness, we often feel in our daily life, because we live here in duality, in the positive and negative, that to reach that oneness consciousness, that oneness awareness, where all is one and we're connected to our source, it's not easy to reach on a daily basis when you look at the mundane. And when you look at how even the states, the countries are made up, it's like we are being basically forced into a part of duality where we feel either disconnected from something or not being fully aligned. And if you really look at it, the saddest part and the grief that all of humanity has in their heart is literally feeling abandoned from our creative source. And whenever we have this moment of satisfaction, it gives us like a relief where we feel like, oh my God, I feel like I feel satisfied. I feel connected. I feel this moment. And often people say ignorance is bliss because they don't want to look at the main feeling of disconnect and really creating that bridge between heaven and earth, between our creative source, between God and ourselves, or the goddess and us, or the enlightenment consciousness. Regardless how we describe it or name it, we have that deep grief in our hearts where we feel disconnected. And often our experiences, they contributed to us feeling disconnected.
So that's really interesting. I mean, I'd like to just shift from that position for a minute to looking at people that are living in life circumstances that are extremely challenging for them, whether they are living with somebody who's sick or living with someone who might have dementia or a disabled child, and the ongoing challenges of those in their daily lives create huge stress or huge burden that, you know, people then need to escape from. Can we talk a little bit about how that situation?
Yeah, I mean,
when we're in these
situations where that's happening, where family members have to be taken care of, or some compromise has to be made for one or the other reason. When that happens, it's basically a working out of that initial karmic expression. So let's say we're manifesting, we are creators of our reality. The question is, what are we teaching ourselves by creating and experiencing it? And, you know, there's like always a 0.5% that, like, it's a mystery. It's an act of God. You know, it's truly a mystery. But there's also a large percentage that we can influence with our thoughts, with our intentions, with our focus and choices that we make. And these choices, they can narrow a failure pattern down, where you can ultimately see, is this required, or can, or do I need to experience this right now, or is this, does this have to have the potential of success, or have to have a potential of failure in that moment? And that's a choice, because we can at any moment make these choices. Once we make these choices, we also just think about it. When somebody gets married to somebody and they know right from the get-go, it might have not been the right choice, but they still went through with it. That's a big commitment. And now, the next 30 years, that person may work it out, or they just say, you know, they're going to get a divorce. But ultimately, this decision, they are long-lasting. And whenever we're making long-lasting decisions, we have to be aware that we are unlimited beings. That means any decisions we are making can be very long-lasting into infinite. So every decision has the full potential of catastrophe or absolute bliss. And whenever we're making these decisions from bliss, we are attracting more and more bliss. And we're getting into a momentum where more and more happiness can unfold from that joyous moment of us making that decision. And I'm not just talking about, being happy and getting married, but also if you make a decision where you feel, you know, there is a family member that you have to take care of in the next 2 or 3 years, and you're making that commitment and you feel a very strong call to take care of that person, and you're following too. That's a very beautiful, in some way, a service and a sacrifice, but it also is a good healing ultimately for you, because you're going into a place where you learn something from that experience. The question is that the experience that's going to lead you to the next level, or is that an experience that's going to deplete you?
It's a really interesting concept to think about. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to speak to our lovely guests that are with us today. I've got a couple of other questions for them too. Stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Healing, listeners. Today we are talking about addictions. It's a pretty heavy topic, and I'm going to actually break open the discussion to our two lovely guests, Carol and Saba. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
I welcome you both to the show. Okay. Look, I'm going to throw this out, and I'd like whoever would be interested to answer it. Please come forth, but you both heal and you both treat a lot of clients, so I'm sure you see this in your practices, but I kind of just been talking about choice, about dealing with addictions, and I'm also interested in say, and a thing that really just I feel so for deeply in my heart. How about children that are born into addictive families where they have, you know, alcoholic parents that are abusive, or situations couldn't have chosen it? Let's talk a little bit about when people are faced with these situations, how energy works can actually help these people move forward in seemingly choiceless situations.
Carol, you want to take that one, buddy?
Sure. Well, first I want to say that they, of course, did really choose it before they came in. So they knew that they were going to be working out this karma or this situation. And because we choose our life experiences in a general way, right? And so if somebody's born into that situation, then there's something that they felt that they could gain through the transformation of working through that. And what even though it feels painful, it is painful, you know, when they're young, they're working through it, and when they're incarnated is that they're going to be able to work with this aspect of being in physicality and being here on the planet and transform it. And so hopefully that's what happens at some point during their lives. And from that broader perspective, you know, they say it, if the lesson that you came in to learn, you know, if you learn it in the last 30 seconds of your life, then you've learned it. And you know, so like that's one thing to keep in mind. And so when people come to us, when they come to us for healing and they're healing all this childhood trauma because they've been in this, you know, dysfunctional family and abusive or whatever, then it's something to look at, like what Tana was saying, like, okay, now we can look at this, was this, how can we improve? How can we move forward from this? How do you transform this and move forward? You know, one thing that this reminds me of, I've seen this on a couple of occasions where, so, you know, even the science of addictions is starting to understand that concept of it's about connections. Like it's starting to be talked about out there. But I've had situations where the people will say, without even really knowing that that's what it's about, they'll say, but when I'm in my addiction, you know, whether it's alcohol or tobacco or whatever, when I'm in my addiction is when I feel connected. And so they continue the addiction because that's the only time they feel connected. And when they're not in, you know, using whatever the substance is, they don't feel connected. And I feel like the healing work then is to help them to see that's the illusion, right? That where they want to get to is the feeling connected when they're not in their addiction. But sometimes, you know, like that's the real transformation, right? Because then you're seeing the real truth of it. Here's where I'm really connected to source and not this elusive of whatever the addiction is.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I mean, I know personally I've had trouble with certain addictions, behavioral addictions, and some substance addictions in my life at certain periods of time. And I think what you just said there, Carol, is absolutely true. You know, when life was so challenging, you know, sometimes I would drink too much alcohol because when I did that, I would just relax and I would feel like connected. I felt happy and all my troubles went away. And it's true. It's not the truth. It's an illusion. And Atana, just coming back to that for a second, what is that? Why do people fall into that illusion? And could you just shed a little bit more light on that, please?
Well, they have this, ultimately, they go in for connection, right? And the moment you go for connection and you experience feeling connected internally, it does create new pathways, but it's redirecting us literally into a cyberspace. And for example, you know how the kids are playing the computer games right now, and they're like all the way into like these computer worlds, literally one illusion after the other. These are all imaginary worlds, illusionary worlds and dimensions in the multiverse. So not just that there is a multiverse, but now there is also in the cyberspace, there's like a multitude of realities. Now, that's a different connection. In one way, it does help to evolve your communication skills. It makes you a great communicator. But at the same time, you have the illusion that you're really connected, and externally, you're depriving yourself of true connection and touch. Even if you look at the dating apps, people are going deeper into it, and they're living in that virtual world of connecting, but they're really not getting together. They're not really meeting. There's a lot of people are not actually meeting. They're just keeping this an online experience. And so it detaches one from their true heart energy. It detaches one from their true feeling, where the body is being kept out of the experience and the mind is being basically super developed. And it gives you a different form of connection. Excuse me. You feel a strong connectivity because in these imaginary worlds, there's hundreds of thousands of people, mental body from all over the world. So there's a lot happening. But at the same time, you're sitting alone in your living room, you know?
Yes.
So it's a different reality. So, and ultimately, it developed an inner world that wasn't really there because people felt they were stuck in this mundane reality. And now they're discovering, my God, there's more to it than what I thought. And of course, if you have only that to choose from, you will take it and you will go there and you feel very connected until you get to the point where you realize it's an illusion. And once you realize it's an illusion, you can start also creating or pulling yourself back into your life and create your own reality in all of these illusions and make this the best reality that you can make it.
Yeah, and I guess that's really what this work enables you to do. So it's about, well, let's stop escaping for a minute from the challenges that I face in whatever aspect of my life, and how can you ground yourself? Carol actually talks a lot about grounding, and I'm, you know, you've really made that.
That's because I had to do so much to get it.
Yes. It's about then looking at how am I going to sum it up? This work, the Atana Method, is a tool for me to live in my life. That's how I experience it. And it helps me with very difficult emotions that come up for me that I couldn't ever face in my past. It helps me with conversations. Like this week I've been having some really, really intense full-on conversations with lawyers and people and very difficult negotiations. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing energy on my work on myself all week. And you know what? I've just nailed it. And I have thought it honestly is doing this work that enables me then to face the life that is before me. And I really, that's honestly my experience of it all. no matter what is there. So, yeah, absolutely, Atana. It's removing yourself from that virtual world and being here no matter what. And, yeah, I think that's really true. Carol, I just want to come back to you for one second on that grounding part. How important do you think that grounding is in relation to addiction?
Well, it's essential, completely, because if you're going off into that virtual world, that mental space where those dimensions are, you're not even aware that you're sitting alone in the living room. And, you know, like when Atana was saying that, I'm like picturing somebody who, you know, it's like out of a sci-fi movie, right? Like I read a book one time where they, people with addictions, they just like wired the brain and they would just like put these hats on and, you know, and it would just trip all those little happy things in there and they would just zone out. So I'm like picturing somebody who's just like feeling so connected in that mental multi-dimensionality while their body is just like decaying in the living room, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why you've got to step out of that illusion and come back into your body and say, well, hey, you came here. There must be a reason why we came here. You know, we incarnated here. And that's one thing that Atana teaches us quite often is like, we had to do a lot to get incarnated here. And so we might as well, like, you know, work while we're here to figure out why we wanted to be here so badly. What is it that we came here to do? And, right? So it's like, so get back in the body and start transforming the darkness, the fear, all the stuff that makes us like jump out of the body, right? And so come back in and know that's why this work is so beautiful with it, because it gives you something to hold on to. If we're so scared about getting into that body again, because the earth is just so scary sometimes, if it's so unpleasant. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want to go back in there. You know, I'm going to feel some sort of pain. But this work gives us something to hold on to, you know. In
like
sense,
a life
okay,
raft.
Yeah, like, okay, I'm going to hold on to this, and then I'll, you know, put one toe in, and then I might get a whole foot in my body, you know. And a little by little, you start coming back into the body, and you start changing out the hotel that you've let your body be, because when you aren't in your physical body, then, you know, parasites take up. You know, I had to clean out a bunch of yeast, right? Like a lot of people have like an overabundance of yeast because they're just like happy little campers that like, well, if you're not using this space, can I go in there and camp out? And so, you know, we start coming in and start claiming our bodies back a little at a time. And that's what this work gives us the tools to do.
Thank you, Carol. That's great and very, very helpful and very clear. So we're going to go to another quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to the lovely Saber. And we'll hear a bit more from Carol and Atana too. Just stay with us, listeners. We'll be right back in a moment.
Oh,
Welcome back, listeners, to Let's Talk Healing. Once again, I'm your host, Anna, and we have Tana, of course, here with us today, who this show is dedicated to, and we also have guests Carol and Faber, and we haven't actually heard much from Faber yet, so we're going to have a chat with her. And Faber, you know, there's all sorts of addictions. Today's show is on addiction. And one of the areas that a lot of people seem to have some trouble with over and above computer games or food or alcohol or gambling is the addiction to thinking. And that's a topic that a lot of people struggle with. I know that you practice, you've got your own practice. I'd love to hear about how you deal with people that are addicted to overthinking.
Well, I suffer from this still. And so I thought it was, and just recently it felt like it kind of reared its head again. And when you heal so many levels of your addiction, right? And so things that I was working on 10 years ago, it's just coming back around now to look at it again, right? And one of the things that I have suffered my whole life is overthinking, but almost like a thinking that it's just like a circle. I just think the same thought over and over and over again. And it's usually not a good thought, right?
So is it like you talk to yourself? Are you talking to yourself in your head?
Oh, in my mind, sometimes I'm not very nice to myself, right? Oh, that wasn't good enough. Did those people like me? Did I make a good impression on them? You know, am I going to get that job? Am I going to get that job? Or did I do good enough? Or I'm not good enough? And I find my children starting to do the same thing. So as I've been working really hard on it, I've noticed a lot of people start to talk to me about how they're doing the same thing. And so I was like, thank you, universe, because it really started to help me learn more about myself and also ways to help people. And I know I always kind of revert back to sports, but when we were on the tennis court a couple of months ago, when I was coaching some people, they kept looking all around, right? And when you're in a tennis match, right, you really need to be concentrating. It's like a chess match, and you can't be looking on the court next to you and looking up at the sky and looking all around. You need to be engaged, as we were talking about being present in the moment, right? And as I am playing, I hear the word horse, 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 horse. I'm like, what the heck is that? And my guide showed me a horse when the horse has blinders on its eyes, right? And so I just yelled out, horse, on the tennis court, right? And everybody stopped, okay? And what the hell is he doing now, right? And I said, whenever I say the word horse, it means I want you to be present. I want you to be engaged in the point. I don't want you looking all around. I don't want you thinking anything else but about this right now. And so now, fast forward a couple of months, when these behaviors started coming up again, I wrote all around the house with little post-its the word horse, right? And when my mind starts going, like it does, I look at the word horse, and it just snaps me right out of it. And so I'm starting to use the same thing with my children. And we love it because we laugh about it, right? And we even put the little hands by the eyes, and we're like, horsey, horsey. And we have fun with it, right? But it really does help. You know, I'm not thinking about the bad day I had, right before I go to bed, and I want to think about something else, and I just can't stop, right? And I see that word horse, and it grounds me, as Carol was saying so beautifully today. She was on it today. Just grounds me right away. So everybody has their own special way of doing it. Sometimes it might look silly the way I do it, but it really does help me. Sometimes just the simpler, the better. Maybe because I just love working with kids so much, I maybe just transfers over and translates better that way. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just a big kid at heart always.
I think that might be true.
Yes, thank you.
you're talking about this critical voice, I've been noticing, I started working in a new space recently, and I'm loving it, by the way. You know, if we're going to talk about healthy addictions, I think it's, going to work or having a hobby that you love that seems to be helping you maximize your skill set. However, what I have noticed is that voice, I will go over and over and over conversations I've had, and I thought, why is this happening? This going over and over and over and over, like I've wanted to make sure that it was perfect, or could have I said anything differently, or and I've noticed this coming up for me quite a lot, and it's a very interesting thing that just suddenly comes out of your body. I have that as well. It's interesting.
Yeah, and it gets to a point where it almost hurts me, right, physically, because I'm like, stop it, right? It just keeps going and going, and I'm like, I know I don't want that happening, and I know better, mm-hmm. but why is it still going, right? And so go ahead and write the word horse and put it on a post-it right where you start to have those thoughts, because I kind of have like little spaces where my phone is or my computer is, in the car, I have it in my car, places where they're not triggers for me, but places where things kind of die down when things are quiet, that's when it starts to come up for me, right? And so I kind of just pick my horse post-it. And you could even make a symbol. You know, I love symbols. You could even make a symbol for the word horse so you don't have to explain it to anyone if you don't want to. But it really, it takes you right out and it grounds you. And you could even say, whenever I say the word horse, universe, I want you to snap me out of that pattern. I want you to put it, reinsert a positive thought like such, and please ground me to Mother Earth. And whenever I say that word horse or look at that symbol, I want all of that to be inserted when I look at that, right? And the universe has to do it because you're the master of your universe, right? So it's really been helping. So please give it a try.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And, yeah. You know, you're gonna have your own new language, right? Like the favorite language. Your family's walking around saying horse and seven, right?
Oh my gosh. Seven.
Excuse
seven.
Me. Yeah, excuse me. I'm not sorry. Excuse me.
You know, on that topic, Atana, you have got some quite good little techniques as well to break that as part of your teachings. And one of those is bringing in these mantras, because this addiction to thinking is a problem for so many people. And Atana, I remember you saying to me, why use that space to then be focusing on things that are not productive, and when you can bring yourself back to the truth of who you really are. And you have some little mantras that you teach your students about how to bring them back into that truth. And it's that, like, I can't, just at the moment I'm having a mental blank, but that I'm love, truth. What's that one again? I've forgotten it.
Yeah, it's a set of affirmations that aligns the person to basically get back into their divine connection. Instead of like celebrating the disconnectedness, it does like, hey, any moment we're recognizing we're disconnected, that's an opportunity for us to connect back, because we got used to feel disconnected. And how more we get used to feel disconnected, how more it becomes a reality. So the less that we are actually feeling or disconnecting ourselves from our source, the more we create connection, because we are staying in an alignment. And the mantras are very powerful for this. Even the prosperity healing mantras. If you just go and work with the prosperity healing mantra, they will immediately shift your frequency. They will immediately shift your vibration into higher levels of unlimited prosperity. But at the same time, it changes your vibration to a way and a level that really opens you back where you start energetically feeling again.
So just on that point, anybody that doesn't know what a prosperity healing mantra is, you've just been hearing one version of a prosperity healing mantra in our ad breaks. Tana has got some CDs, or you can download MP3s onto your phone like I have, and you can listen to these prosperity healing mantras. You can listen to them everywhere. I often listen to them in the bathroom when I'm getting dressed in the mornings. That sets me up for the whole day. And I actually have them on my computer as well, and I can turn them on and listen to them in the background while I'm working. But you, if anybody wants to find them, you just go to Atana's website, which is www.atanamethod.com. You can also Google them, and I have to say they are beautiful. Atana, once I rang a girlfriend of mine in the car. She just popped into my mind, and I rang her, and I forgot to press stop on the telephone, like hang up, and I chanted the prosperity healing mantra in the car for about 5 minutes on her recorded message. She rang me the next day and she said, thanks for all that chanting. Anyway, it was quite funny. I was really chanting loudly too, but it does get you back in that right position. we're going to have to go to another commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about how we can shift ourselves from this place of addiction that harms us to addiction that heals us. So listeners, stay tuned and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Healing, listeners. We have been talking about addictions, and we are going to have a bit of a chat later on, just a quick way to shift people into healthy addictions. But before we do, Atana just off air made a really important comment to me, just about the very intense energy that's coming up on the planet and really from our galaxy at the moment. And I was just saying, astrologically, there is very challenging influence. There's a huge amount of Saturn and this Capricorn influence. And also Chiron is there. And right now, what we're experiencing energetically as a collective as well as individuals is intense. So, Atana, I'm sure that is helping feed every possible addiction out there. Let's just talk a little bit about this heavy energy.
Yeah, these heavy energies, they're coming up basically to our system, to the lineage, to karmic experiences that we're still transforming and transmuting. And this is the time in life where a lot of people project on others. What they're dealing with instead of recognizing. And I, as a healer, and you know, when you're a healer, you are experiencing this often, where your clients project stuff on you because there's no other safe space where they can do it. And often, I have experienced in my, you know, in my whole career as an energy healer, I have often, and I'm like, I am so loving to really poke into the darkest depth of your being to bring this out to the surface so that it can be transformed. For me, this is like a funny game, because ultimately, the more darkness we are confronted with, the more light we can infuse into ourselves. And so my journey is like, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna make that visible so that it can be recognized, so that it can become observable, understandable, so it can be transformed and released. But a lot of people don't feel that they have the potential to actually deal with the darkness that's coming up in their being. And that's why I really want to reinforce and reemphasize that we are unlimited energy beings. So regardless how big of a darkness is coming up in you, that's still a limitation compared to your unlimitedness. Regardless how big that darkness may look, it's still limited.
That is really true. That is really true.
Right? And we just have to connect with that unlimitedness of our being so that we can truly move forward. And a lot of the people, when they start projecting on you or going into the victim mode, that's when you really want to remind them too that they are unlimited. Often when these heavy times are coming up and people deal with heavy karmic or lineage stuff or even abuse, they're trying to project it on somebody or some experience, and then they just want to basically shun that person with the experience, and then they think they're going to get rid of the abuse energy or the negativity instead of actually understanding it comes up through them so it can be transformed and released. And the deepest darkness in our being can now come up to the surface so it can be transformed. There's a saying, it's like it says, the sun is the best sanitizer. Once you bring it up to the surface, it will start transforming.
So, Atana, can I just interrupt you there for one moment? When you say people project onto you or to others, are you saying that people go into blaming mode? Like, you know, your fault, or it's your, this is what you're doing to me, and this is why this is happening. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, of course. It's because you have to have somebody else taking the blame, because I mean, not you, but the person, and then so that person feels they can't handle that negativity. And they say, well, somebody must be doing this to me. And then if somebody does it to you, then you can put a face to it and say, well, it's that person, that's why it happened, so thank you. But then a year goes by and that problem is still there.
Mm.
So it wasn't really that person. It was more really the pattern that created that situation. And often, when people get to a place, you know, or even in relationships, when you have the partner and you're evolving together, and there's a moment where one or the other partner stops wanting to transform or wanting to work on the relationship or wanting to move forward into healing, that's when basically that person decides they don't want to be on that same journey with you anymore. And then whatever happens, it's either you have to pull that person, or that person actively tries to slow you down. And that can happen. But either way, when that happens, then usually the blame game starts, where it says, well, it's your fault because you're not doing this, or the other person says, it's your fault because you didn't do that. But ultimately, it's one or the other, or maybe both, have stopped working on their relationship or worked on their progress in life. And when that happens, through maybe the other partner's addiction or to the other partner's absence, then the relationship stagnates. And often that has to do, and then you blame that person, the person blames you back until you get to an understanding, like, maybe these patterns are in me and maybe I have to start healing these patterns. That's why I appreciate like therapist or healer attitudes, where you have this attitude where whatever the heck comes up, the deepest, darkest fit of your being comes up to the surface, excuse my French, and you now can transform it. And you bring it up to the surface so that it can be neutralized, so it can be transformed. And the deeper you go and the deeper you dig and bring it up to the surface, the more space for light, for your oneness that you're making.
You know what? And that is what this work does. And once you start working with this work a lot, there is a trust because you know it's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, there, and there have been so many, I mean, I can only talk about my own experience because I'm not a healer. I don't treat people like Carol and Saber and Uatana. I treat myself, but, you know, there have been so many things that have seemed so overwhelming and so catastrophic and things I just could not face and that was shameful. And I actually thought I thought I was going to die if I faced them, basically. I was going to be swallowed up, a huge hole in the universe was going to open up and I was going to be sucked into some massive black vortex. that's how I felt. But this work... And as I practice it more, I realize it allows you to go to these places and you can transform. And when you do, you get into this place which feels alive, like you've never been alive before. And it's a difficult thing to describe to people, but, you feel that oneness. It's very true. So in negotiating these times, these very dark energies and just understanding and having awareness that if people are really suffering right now and they're going for the addictions, we are facing some very heavy energetic times. And just the last bit of the show today, I want to just ask each of you, I want to ask Katana, Carol and Saber, what are some really quick basic techniques people can do to help bring them back to love, that can help bring them back to this positivity so they can start moving forward rather than being consumed by this virtual reality of their addictions? I'm going to start with you, Saber. You've got like a minute. Go, lady.
You know, the best thing for me and the easiest thing that I have just been hearing over and over again is just to smile. Just smiling and a big smile, uncover those big pearly teeth, you know, and just feel the stretch in your face and look up at the sun and let it invoke you, let it involve you in something bigger, right? And say the word horse while you're doing it and say, I want to do something bigger and better and more beautiful and I love myself and I love my world around me because as all of my co-hosting family has said so beautifully over and over again, that we have to be present and we have to really be mindful of saying, I want to be here. And when you smile, it says, I want to be here. And when you smile at someone else, it says, I want you to be here with me too. So that would be my first thing I would do. Then I would do my Antana methods and mantras and all that jazz. So I love you guys so much. Thank you for letting me be part of this today.
Thank you. And may the addiction of love bless you and surround you on your journey this week, Saber.
Thank you. Likewise, my beautiful. I've got a big cheesy smile going on right now. Looking at you all.
Carol, I'm coming to you next. What are some really simple methods or techniques or even action steps can take to help just make, even if it's that one step towards freedom, what could that be?
Take your pulse and breathe. It can be just that simple. Like that's like oftentimes what's the first thing I do with people on the table, you know? It's like if just find your heart, take your pulse, and breathe, and then start to realize, recognize, even just for a little moment, that your body has been here with you through all of the stuff that you've been through, and it's still there with you, and that can be like the first step to like maybe getting to know it a little bit better.
Yeah, that's a good one. And that breathing, oh, is like the bridge, isn't it? Because without your breath, we have no life. So just connecting to that one simple aspect is very, yeah, I mean, it's, that is profound in itself. You know, the thing that I do to help me get out of that addiction, because I suffer from that too, but Saber's been talking about this addiction to thinking or replaying thoughts or trying to solve problems in my head. I like to get my journal out and I will journal all that thinking out so at least it is grounded on the paper. And it's actually from there that I will often do the healing work, the Atana method. I use a sacred inner dialogue. If anybody doesn't know what that is, jump onto Atana's website. He's got a book called Sacred Inner Dialogue. You can learn that technique, or you can contact one of the Atana method practitioners and they will work with you on that. And then I use that sacred inner dialogue to actually transform all of those patterns. And for that, for me, that is a most incredible release. And I go off into my day and I feel fantastic. So that's my two bobs, sense worth. Atana, we're coming to you because we're going to finish off the show, but I'd love for you, how can our listeners today just do a couple of simple things to help break the shackles of addictions and move into this freedom that everybody wants to really feel, the reality, the freedom of reality, not the freedom of these non-real worlds. What can they do?
The freedom of free speech. I hear you. Well, I tell you something. The first thing that I would do, and that I do for myself, find my breath. Ground myself, connect with Mother Earth, realizing that we are spinning on this planet somewhere in the solar system. The Mother Earth, every step that we take, she is right underneath us. She's always there to support us. Then take a breath, calm down, relax. It's going to be fine. Everything is going to work out. But you have to first give yourself a moment, relax. Take a breath, take a break, relax. Drink water. Breathe. Connect with your heart. Make sure that you connect yourself with your heart, with Mother Earth, and with your oneness consciousness, where everything is one. When everything is one, the illusion of separation automatically transforms and gives you more space.
Thank you.
And then do some energy work, of course.
Some energy work, of course. We can't forget the energy work. Atana, we're going to say goodbye to everybody now. And this has been it's been some pretty interesting discussions here, some pretty heavy topics today. And we've ended on a light note, but I just want you to just, if you've got anything else you want to say to our listeners before we go.
I love you.
Yay! Let's bring that addiction of love bubble not only to each of ourselves here on this conversation, but to all of our listeners, also to our sponsors, our amazing producer Don, who we all love as well. So I send that energy out to you all, and I look forward to connecting with everybody again next week. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you. Bye.